Let's say the average rent growth in America is 5%. Well, we're buying in markets that's anywhere from 7 to 9%, which is unheard of. All of a sudden, if you project the next 5 to 7 year valuation on that project by the cap rate, all of a sudden, your property's worth 10, 15, 20 million. By doing the exact same thing that you could have done in your own hometown, I say lazy of going out and finding the right deals, but you want to go to your own hometown and find deals there because it's more convenient. The biggest thing as an investor in real estate is how can you be the creator and not the guy that buys after the creation's been done. You make the money when you create. Right. That's the hardest and riskiest thing, but that's where the money is made.
We've done in so many properties where we fund distressed properties grown up, where we brought a single family home in, fixed it up. We were on market in 3 months, actually sooner. You get on market, you either rent or sell, because it's going to appraise for more, and bang, just like that, you're a real estate investor. How does somebody work with us as far as an investor? How does it work with Saddlebrook? How does that process work?
It just helps production out back know exactly what your change orders are.
Welcome back to the Tiny Home Podcast powered by Saddlebrook Life. Today, I've got an amazing episode. We're going to be talking to the real estate investors, and I've got me and my brother on the podcast. Colton, what's up? Let's talk about appraisals investors.
Man, I love it. That's kind of what me and you kind of started in is we started in single family homes and kind of just dove right in. We didn't know anything about investing or how real estate works or how appraisals work against or for you. Going back to the bank, you know, how do you raise money? How do you get the comps that you need, and then also based off of the square footage, price per square foot, how can you make money? So today we're going to talk about, as an investor with this product in mind, or you know, let's take a mobile home park, an RV park, how you can transform that into actual, instead of just a mobile home park, you're creating a real life experience, either whether it's a 55-year-old community and up, or just a lifestyle that you create in the community. So we're going to talk to the real estate investors on this podcast and talk about the real money to be made versus on a modular home versus a mobile manufactured home.
So what are some of the, so real estate investors, this is for you. And I want to take a second out of the podcast. 70% of our listeners, they never subscribe to our channel. So I want you to make sure you subscribe to the channel and then share this with an investor that you have in mind or someone that has land that is looking to, for investments. And the first question I want to get into is, how does a real estate investor that's out there that has been investing in single family homes, multifamily, how does it make sense to invest in a product like this, modular, offsite, stick-built homes that are built offsite in a factory? How do I make sense for bringing that in as far as versus building on site?
So first of all, you have to look at your land. So you know, when you're riding around, if you're a real estate investor, you have all of these deals coming in. So you have to, number one, look at the land and look how much it is. And you're going to be like, all right, does it suit me to build duplexes, single family homes? Does it suit for triplexes, fourplexes, or apartments? Or if none of this is another option to that. There's not right or wrong versus this is better than apartments or this is better than duplexes. You know, we've seen our homes go into, you know, cluster homes or cluster communities. And what that is an investor will say, all right, this land in the front costs X amount per square foot. So I have to go up. I cannot make the price of the land worth, you know, X make this product work. So they'll have to go vertical with a, you know, with a apartment complex or a duplex. So there's different land packages that make sense for our homes versus multifamily. And the best thing is if you can find some land that, you know, doesn't cost much horizontally, the water, electrical, everything's in, there's no restrictions as far as commercial, residential, whatever. And now you're building a lot faster. So right. When you're doing your horizontal work, your underground, your dirt road, work, your curbs, all of that, well, in the factory here, we're building the, you know, the product, we're building the vertical while you're doing the horizontal. So once you have your horizontal loan done, and all of a sudden you're off to the races and you say, hey, Colton, you need to go ahead and start as well. By the time you're done, I'm done. We're setting the homes up. You know, you do your foundations the exact same way. You tie them down. Everything's engineered to our engineered specs. everything's done, guess what? Interest rates are 7.5 to 9% in some cases,
depending on where you're on your
mom. A lot of money. When you have to do the horizontal, get done with that, then you start with the vertical. Well, what the vertical is, you might wait another 6 months to 8 months, depending on the trades. If they're, you know, did it rain that week? Did that electrician get tied up on another project, or that plumber never showed up because his employees quit the night before? All of those things that you have to account for. And I'm not saying there's a lot of multifamily. I can't build this product in downtown Miami and think we're going to make a profit. That's not where this product is for. This product is for places to where there's nothing, no more options to build, but you can make this product work,
right?
And you duplicate and you triple your money overnight.
Right.
The best thing that, you know, me and you are even doing, and
we're doing hundreds of developments now,
is we're doing our own developments. Why? Because you have to look at both sides of the spectrum.
Right.
It makes sense for us to build our own homes, build to rent communities. Well, let's say we're all in for, you know, let's say we build three bedroom, two bath communities, and we put 50 of them on there. Let's just say we have, you know, 25,000 per lot for your horizontal, everything's done. And then you have about, in our case, $125 to $130 a square foot in all of our costs, dirt work, everything. We set it on the property. Well, guess what? We're going to get an appraisal to come reappraise it after it's set. And we're going to say, okay, now they appraise for $180 to $200 a square foot, depending on the location. So we've created our own comps. And then you go to a bank and say, okay, it's worth $180 to $200 a square foot. Guess what? I've got $130,000,
right?
Or $130 a square foot.
60, 70%.
All of a sudden, you have that big margin of spread. Now, you know, me, I don't want to be over leveraged. So I'm going to like only pull the money that I've invested. So as an investor, you'll get this. Let's say you brought on a few investors, some partnerships or something like that. This is the point where you can go to your own bank and say, here's the value of everything. Here's, you know, we've got 95% occupancy already. Here's what the rents are getting in. Okay, this property is worth X. Let me refinance, pay off all of my investors. And we've done it. I've got the proof. We paid everybody off. We got to own a community free and clear with no money down. And it's cash flowing. And we're paying down the debt as we go, but we're in that whole project for $0, guys. And the bank paid us $20,000 additional per home to build our own homes.
And we had extra equity.
And we had extra equity in.
Yeah.
Why do we do that? Because I would rather own an asset for the next 10, 15 years. It's going to be cash producing. Guess what? They're brand new. That means no repairs, no warranty, no leaks. So I don't have to worry about anything for the next 10 years. And then depending on your market that you buy in, let's say the average rent growth in America is 5%. Well, we're buying in markets that's anywhere from 7 to 9%, which is unheard of. All of a sudden, if you project the next 5 to 7 year valuation on that project by the cap rate, all of a sudden, your property's worth 10, 15, 20 million by doing the exact same thing that you could have done in your own hometown that you're, you know, I say lazy of going out and finding the right deals, but you want to go to your own hometown and find deals there because it's more convenient. So you have to go out and find the right properties, partner with the right realtors, partner with the right investors, and find the land that makes sense. And the other thing I've seen, Kyler, is cluster housing. So in the front,
so they'll do apartments.
Yeah. Okay. Then they'll do duplexes.
So apartments in the front might be 4 or 5 story. Yeah.
Correct.
A lot of.
So it's. And a lot of these cities are starting to like this because they have got apartments in the front, duplexes in the center, and then 3-bedroom, 2-bath modulars in the back. So you have a little bit of both all the way throughout the whole community. And so then you create a community vibe and it creates a lifestyle. Okay.
Right.
You've got the apartment setting of the amenities, the pool houses, everything like that. But in the duplexes, you've got the rural community. There's not that many people.
Yeah.
And then you've got the community in the back to where it's all private. Everything's secured. Nothing is, you know, you feel like you own your home space, but you don't have $450,000 in that home.
Right.
Guess what? Residents love that. People that, you know, our main client, Kyler, if we're selling business to consumer, which is, you know, it's 45 plus and older, they're retiring. They don't want the 4,000 square foot house. It's too much clean. It's their electric bill's $1,000 a month. They don't need the space. Their kids never come see them, but once a year in Christmas, guess what? they're more, it's more affordable to rent a space out near in town, rent the whole space out, or hey, go to their kids' houses because they got big houses, and have Christmas there at their kids' house. Boom, their grandkids come over. They've got a little bedroom off to the side. They live their happy, and it's a lifestyle. So we're not only breeding the lifestyle of affordability and, you know, clean.
People want houses. Simplicity.
They want simplicity. Yes.
I think the biggest pain you just talked about for the investors, the biggest pain is these houses that we're building. The reason we're doing hundreds of them ourselves now is because the pain is for investors. It's interest. Like if you have an interest only construction loan, if it's raining right now, it's pouring down rain. If it's raining, you can't, you got to stop building. If a plumber contract doesn't show up, you don't get anything done.
What do you do about it?
Right. Right now we build in a factory where it stays dry all the time. We can work 6 days a week. So your project never stops. And what happens is for us and our investors is while they're doing their dirt work and their utilities, the horizontal stuff, we're building the home, which is the vertical. So by the time both of them are done, bam, we put the project, you can have a whole community done. So like
investors, you know this term, time to market. That's everything with high interest rates. And here's what's going to happen. Imagine all those loans, Kyler, on a five-year balloon, all of a sudden they're going to be due in the next 1 to 2 years. Why? What's going to happen? Well, they have a $60 million project and it goes up 3-4% in interest, but their rent growth hasn't.
Because they couldn't get it done.
Their rent growth hasn't grown that fast. Guess what? They're filing bankruptcy.
Right.
Now that property is worth, you know, if it was worth 60, now it's worth $45 million.
Right.
So it's not going to make sense for the bank to put that high of a valuation because interest rates are 6, 7, 8%.
That's why we keep 60, 70. We only pull 70% of it out. So we have 30% equity in all of our properties. And we like to have more if you pay cash for it.
The biggest thing as an investor in real estate is how can you be the creator and not the guy that buys after the creation's been done? You make the money when you create.
Right.
That's the hardest and riskiest thing, but that's where the money is made.
Right.
But most creators, they just sell it and move on to the next project. I don't like that. What I like to do is pull all my money out, okay, my initial investment, and all of a sudden I own a property free and clear. Now I might owe a little bit of debt on that, but so what? My debt's being paid down by all of my rents, and all of a sudden I have a cash flowing asset that I didn't pay a dollar for.
Right.
And it's brand new housing. So I don't have to be smart or intelligent or have a GED at Harvard.
Yeah.
All I have to do is common sense. And I think that's what a lot of investors want, is they want simplicity. They want time to market. What can they get time to market? And hey, the easiest way to do it, guys, go find your rundown RV park or a mobile home that's mismanaged. Get all of those ones out. Distressed properties, distressed mobile home lots, distressed RV parks. Bring our homes in, reset them, refinance them, get them reappraised, and boom, just like that, you grew $2 million. And
we've done so many properties where we fund distressed properties grown up, where we brought a single family home in, fixed it up. We were on market in 3 months, actually sooner. You get on market, you either rent or sell because it's going to appraise for more, and bang, just like that, you're a real estate investor. Last question before we end, how does somebody work with us as far as an investor? How does it work with Saddlebrook? How does that process work?
So we're all direct. We don't have any dealership, so you direct to factory. There's no going through a dealership, and there's no dealership fees. Every bit of our team is in-house. So we don't have any third parties that sell for us. We are direct. And so when you come in, book a call, you're going to get one of us. All right? And you're going to directly, there's no middle person in between us and the factory. You know, we're here, the factory's 20 foot away from us. And the best thing is, guys, come check out our location. Come check us out. You'll be impressed with what we've created here. It's not just a company. It's a culture. It's a movement. And, you know, this is only the beginning of the modular home movement that's going to sweep across America, because the affordable housing crisis is never going to stop.
Right.
And it's here. The sooner that you can get on board, and let's say you have a huge real estate portfolio. I'm not saying put all of it in, put 10% of it in, put 20% of your portfolio in these types of communities, because they will reward and pay you back multiple returns by just doing the things that you might not be comfortable with. And the last thing I'll say is if you're uncomfortable with how the appraisals work on modular, because it's a newer thing, people don't know, the bankers don't know, we've got plenty of bankers to work.
Case studies.
We've got case studies that we've done. We can give you all of that. We've got appraisals to back us up. And so, yeah, that's all we have today.
Hey guys, I'm going to put a link down below for all of your real estate investors that want to look at everything that we have, case studies, things that we've done in the past. I'm going to put a link down below. And again, thank you guys for watching the Tiny Home Podcast powered by Satterbrook. See you on the next.
Thank you guys.
If you enjoyed this video, drop a like. If you have any questions we didn't answer, drop a comment. And guys, tune into next week's episode where we will continue to educate you about the tiny home industry.